Lord, we praise you and ask, yes, in your name, that your house will be called a house of prayer for all people. And we wait upon you, correcting us, loving us, inspiring us, edifying us, teaching us. Bless our fellowship today. We are salt and light in this world. Teach us, Lord, not the ways of men, but your ways, your values, your mind, your heart, your love. There would be a lot of love in our hearts, a lot of love in life, to learn to love. Lord, teach us to love always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, awesome. Great to be here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'd like to use this text to speak about the days we are living in today in the United States, in the Western world, and in our mission on the earth. One day we will see Christ. Won't that be amazing? When is that going to happen? November 4th. The day after the election. Now, we know in the Bible it says you cannot select a day. We don't know the day, right, or the hour. So I am not serious. But it would be awesome, you know, if we left. We didn't die. We were glorified, resurrected, caught up with the believers' bodies that are resurrected out of the ground. Philippians 3, verse 20. And that day is going to happen one day. There will be Christians on the earth, but we'll be caught up and we'll be caught up in the air and meet Christ in the air. In the Greek language, there are two words for air. One is higher than the mountains, and one is lower, the air, where they're lower than the mountain level. And which word does it use when it says we will meet him in the air? The lower one. How close to the earth does Jesus come? When he comes as a thief. How many of you had a bicycle stolen off your back porch? Okay, could the thieves meet in the back, return the bicycles? Now listen, what do I mean? A thief comes and snatches. And I don't think there's any thieves here today, praise the Lord. I don't think like that. But Jesus, his return is like the world doesn't know. And he comes, and he takes us, and we meet him in the air. Where in the Bible does it say that? How many of you know? Just raise your hand. You know where in the Bible it says that? You don't know where that is? You do know, do you? How many of you know where it is in the Bible? Just raise your hand. Just curious. Okay, so you don't know as much as I thought you did. Okay. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. You can take a note of that. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. We'll be gone. That'll happen one day. Wow. When? When? When the Supreme Court decides. What did Jesus say? that you don't know, and not even the angels in heaven know. My Father knows. Isn't that good? It's going to happen. But the way the natural man thinks is history is like this. This is the line. Here's the day Jesus died, was raised from the dead. He's gone. He's seated in heaven, but he's here in us. And here we are this year. It's 2020, right? And we say, everything continues as it has been from the beginning. That's how people think. So they don't realize about this amazing change that's going to happen. They don't realize it. They don't think about it. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, everybody is continuing, you know, buying and selling and getting married and having a funeral, and they have a birthday party. Everything continues the same. But then the flood came. And he said it about Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody's doing the same thing. It's all the same. And in our world, everybody's buying and selling. The Microsoft shares, and they have a vacation home, and they're planning their vacation, and little Johnny has his birthday party. Everything's the same. It's the same. And then there's a huge change. This is a radical change that is going to come, that is going to happen. And why? How do we know this? But because we are reading the Bible. The Bible is telling us. The Bible is telling us about the coming kingdom. The Bible told us about Christ coming the first time. The Bible tells us about his coming the second time. And the second time, there's two parts to it. One is a thief. And people don't know, they don't see that he's coming, because only we that believe meet him in the air. The others do not leave. They have 7 years of tribulation. You think people are having a heyday today and causing a lot of trouble, and you think there's destruction and rebellion and immorality today. This is only the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of what is coming. There'll be severe, worse, nuclear war, pandemics, demons released out of Tartarus, incredible periods of pollution, meteorites hitting the earth, asteroids, waters being polluted with blood, insects, all kinds of problems that are coming that are written about in the book of Revelation. So that is coming, but we are not going to go through that. We're going to be taken out before that happens. We do not go through that tribulation period, but it's coming. And how do we know this? It's because we are Bible readers and students of the Bible. Bible college starts this week, NBCNS. Our first night is Tuesday night, right here in the auditorium. If you don't know about it, or you haven't heard about it, or you're not sure about it, you're welcome this week to go to classes. Come Tuesday night, and you can hear some. It will be in this room, and we'll have the kickoff for Bible school starting on Tuesday night. I teach a Bible psychology course, which is an excellent course. There's a Gospels course, there's Pastor Love, there's Pastor Shibeli, there's Pastor Matt Garrett, there's Justin, there's Dennis White. We're going to have a very, very good year in our Bible school. And so you are welcome. And God speak to your heart about it. Learning your Bible. Wow. Well, I wish I could. I know, because a lot of you have iPhones, but if you have your Bible, can you just raise it up like this and just kind of like just, wow, amazing, great. Just pump it up and down a couple of times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is This is the Word of God. That's amazing. This is precious. This keeps us from a lot of foolishness. It keeps our life, orders our footsteps, enlightens our mind, gives us understanding. Let me show you one thing. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And I just want to show you the first part of this psalm. Six verses is about creation. We have two ways of understanding God. One is creation. When we look at the sea and the moon and the stars, insects and animals and plant life, we say, wow, God is smart. God is wise. When we look at the cosmos, gravitational forces, physics, when we look at the universe, we say, wow, this is organized. God is smart. But because he's smart doesn't mean that I know him. I know about him. I know he's smart or he's wise. I believe that about God, but I don't really know him. It would be like a primitive man finding my watch on a deserted island, or not deserted, but a primitive people, and they find my watch on the beach. And they've never seen anything like this, and they look at it, and what are they saying in their minds about it? Where did it come from? Who made it? How does it work? What is it for? And also, does the person that made that, do they love? Are they an enemy of mine, or do they love me? Are they a person? Where did it come from? It's the same way in the first six verses of Psalm 19, where we see creation, we find creation, and we go, wow, whoever made that is so amazing, talented, and smart. But do they love me? Are they caring about me? I mean, I don't know what it means. I don't know enough, so I need more. That's why we have the Bible. This is what the Bible is for. It's for us to know the person that made the universe. Okay? Somebody made a boat, but I don't know what kind of person they are. Are they a good person or a bad person? They made a boat. Just because they made a boat doesn't mean that they're a good person. I don't know that yet. Not until I meet them. So look at Psalm 19, verse 7. We have 7, verse 8, and verse 9. We have six phrases for what we will say is the Bible. The law of the Lord, that's the Bible. The testimony of the Lord, that's the Bible. The statutes of the Lord, that's the Bible. The commandment of the Lord, that's the Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean, that's the Bible. So I'm going to make this real simple for you, because it's like this. Here is a person, and I write them as a square, okay? What will the Bible do? Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It'll take the person and change them into a round, from a square to a circle. Convert the soul. The Bible will give me a new heart. It'll change my soul. Then what else will the Bible do? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So let's go to the next picture. I am now, I'll put here a graduation cap on me with it. I am now wise. How did I get change? The Bible. How did I become wise or educated in life? How did I get the mind of Christ? By the Bible. The Bible did it. The Bible changed me. The next one, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. So here's the next picture. Here I am. I'm smart. And then it says, rejoicing the heart. So here's a big smile on me now. What happened? I am changing. I was changed. I got smart. And I got joy. Where'd you get your joy from? The Bible. Where's that written? Right there. Now, notice something. A man could study science, and he just has this and questions, but he doesn't have a lot. He only has the sea and the sun and the moon and the stars and E equals MC squared and other things on physics and chemistry and medicine, but he doesn't have a changed life. Because just because I study the universe doesn't mean it's going to change my life. It's only God that changes your life. Well, how do you find God? By what he says to you, how he speaks to you, how he gives you the gospel, how he said, I sent my son into the world to teach you parables, miracles, ministry, discourses, wisdom. What did the wisdom do? It changed me. It made me smart. It also gave me a smile on my face. There's one more. It goes, two more. One more. Verse, commandment of the Lord is verse 8. Enlightening the eyes. So the next one goes like this. Here's your changed life. You're wise, you smile, and you've got big eyes. Enlightening the eyes means understanding, perception. Yeah, it means I see something. I understand something I didn't understand before. I understand who the Jews are. I understand who the prophets are. I understand that there's purpose in life. I understand who God is. I realize that he actually cares about me, that he loves me, that he forgives me. I realize that he put my name in the book of life. Therefore, I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. How did all of this good stuff happen? It happened by the Bible. Well, how do I get the Bible? Well, that's our point this morning. That's what I want to share with you. So we're getting there. Look at those verses one more time just as we finish this. I want to make sure. Okay. Verse 10. Is it up on the screen there? Yeah. More to be desired are they than gold. What is more desired? The Bible. The commandment of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. Those are phrases for the Bible. I'm just making it simple so I don't have to memorize them all and say them in order. I just want to break it down and make it really simple. The Bible is like gold. One little historical illustration. This man in a pond in California, maybe you know it, in 1848, he found gold. He kept it a secret for a year. Then it leaked out. Within months, 1849, the California Gold Rush. In months, 300,000 Americans went west to find what? Gold. You find gold, your life changes. You find gold, you become rich. You find gold, you give your life. You cross the United States of America in a wagon train to find gold. You take a ship around South America to get to California to find gold. I found it. I found the Bible. That's what I found. How about you? Have you found it? It's like gold. It's everything. I was thinking of it the other day because I heard about a politician in Washington who has $300 million. And I know who that person is. He's on the news a little bit. He's amazingly, extremely wealthy people. I could care literally. I'm on my bicycle riding when I'm thinking about it. This woman has $300 million. She's got nothing compared to what I got. I got a bicycle. I've got my health. I've got a mind. I've got the spirit. I've got friends. I've got purpose. I got this little diagram right here. That this is what the Bible did for me, and he enlightened my eyes, and I see, realize what it is, because money, believe me, money is so good. It's a tool. It's a very valuable thing that we can use in life, and I'm not against it. I just simply don't love it. It's awesome. It's a tool. It's a useful tool in life. You can solve problems with money, and you can do things for people with money. It's a great thing, but it's not everything. It's not everything. Somebody who has that as their purpose or goal in life is missing the whole thing. Oh, it's an amazing thing to have God. More to be desired than gold is his word. And guess what else it says? Sweeter than honey. Now, sweetness means in our meditation, this kind of very gentle sense, this appreciation, this sweetness, this kindness, this penetration of goodness, this kind of creative part of the heart and the mind, a sweetness, a gentleness. The Bible makes that for you. I remember being in Bible school and the sweetness of it, just the presence of God in the room. And the beautiful sense of truth. And you can just roll it over like honey in your mouth. You can kind of roll it around in your mouth. And it just melts in your mouth and goes down. And it's a beautiful thing. Why did God compare the Bible to gold and honey? And it says more to be desired. It's desirable. I want it. I want it. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, let's go now to our message. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I believe that you and I are on a good road in life because I have been born again by the grace of God. And we have a new heart and a new spirit. Because of the new heart and the new spirit, we want to hear truth. By the way, one of the books of the Bible that I love very much is Ecclesiastes. Because Ecclesiastes talks about how empty life is without God. That there's no real meaning in life without God. And contradictory to that, or contradistinction to that, is Song of Solomon, where it's exactly the opposite. Life is filled with meaning because of love. Love. Love makes the world go round. Remember that phrase? I don't remember. It's association, but love, maybe it's a song. Love makes the world go round. Love is, well, God is love. But there's a lot of loves that are not from God. There are a lot of attachments that are not from God, and Jesus showed that to us. So we have found meaning in life through our new birth. Because God loves us, and we love him. We worship him. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Which cloud? It's what's the context? But the Jews leaving Egypt, When they left Egypt, they were traveling south, and there was a cloud over the nation, the people, a couple million people, a big movement, a huge group of people, large area of ground that they covered, a couple million people moving, walking. And a cloud was over them, and the cloud was light to them. It radiated light and then darkness to the Egyptians. It was darkness to the Egyptians, but light to the Jews. And that's like Jesus. Like, because we know Jesus, walk with Jesus, he's light to us, but to the world, Jesus is darkness. They don't see any value in him. They don't necessarily believe his teaching or believe in him as a savior. It's even worse. It's religious garbage. It's like not at all. Like, I don't care anything about it. I want to stay away from churches or away from Jesus. That doesn't mean anything to me. To the Egyptian, it's darkness. But to us, it's the opposite because of our little diagram up on the wall here. It changed my life. It helped me immensely. It encouraged me. It enlightened me. It gave me help. It gave me hope. It helped me in my family life. It helped me in my personal life to sort through my problems, my rejection, my pain, my fears, my guilt. Like, Jesus is real, like he gives light to us as we move in faith out of Egypt. And they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. That's actually a body of water. You've seen it on the map. Yeah, there's the Sinai Peninsula, and they were on the other side of it in Egypt, and they got there to the water. God led them to the edge of the water, and they could look behind, and the Egyptian army is coming, and look ahead, and there's nothing there but miles of water in front of them, the sea, the Red Sea. It says here in verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It means that they were with Moses. Moses got them there. They were baptized unto Moses. They were, in other words, obedient to him, subject to him, and they were following him with the cloud, and they come to the sea, and then they go through the Red Sea, and they are baptized unto Moses. It means that they had actually seen the hand of God work through Moses. In a sense, that's happened to us too. But it's been Jesus that did it. But we also read in the Bible that God uses men. Like, he's used Billy Graham and Billy Sunday, and he's used men through history, and they have heard from God, and they have followed God in faith, and when you are with them, you get the benefit of what they're saying and what they're ministering. You get the benefit of it. You're with them in the faith, and the same Spirit that is in them and with them is the same Spirit that we drink. We drink the same Spirit. That's why we assemble, because we want Jesus to speak to us. That's why we're in the ministry, because we find the ministry to be giving definition, and that it's more than creation. It's the teaching of the Bible to instruct me in my heart and mind. And actually, what happens is you end up saying, this is good. This is better than gold. This is sweeter than honey. This is what I need. If I didn't have this, maybe I'd be in a bar room somewhere. If I didn't have this, maybe I'd be all confused and troubled or home depressed. Or maybe I'd be off playing a game or fooling around, but not really feeling my purpose in life, not being satisfied. But when you go through the Red Sea on the other side, it says they sang in Exodus 15. They sang this song, and they were there for 3 days celebrating, and they were amazed. We were in bondage in Egypt, but now we are free. And the horse and rider is cast into the sea. And our God did it. Our God who promised to us 400 years ago, Abraham, that we would one day come out of Egypt, that we would go down into Egypt for 430 years, and that God would take us out and we would bring the bones of Joseph out. I remember when Joseph was dying, he said, "When you leave, bring my bones out with you." That means he believed it. And then they believed it. And then they were in unbelief as slaves. It'll never happen. We are in bondage. We are slaves. We are slaves. It'll never happen. But then Moses said, "No, it'll happen. Follow me. Let's go." I believe we are in a time in the United States of America where we need to be in tune and listen to what God is saying to us. And the world will say one thing, but God says another thing. And what the world is saying is important. We may not find it to be important or believe it to be important, but we find God's mind, God's spirit, and God's heart. Verse 4 or 3. All ate the same spiritual food. Spiritual food. We were evangelizing yesterday in a small town about an hour away from here. A group of us go, two cars, and we are doing this on Saturdays. Evangelize in Emmitsburg. One Saturday we went to Westminster, we went to Northeast, we've been in Glen Burnie, we went out to Sykesville, we have been going, I think, 9 different places, Hampstead, evangelizing and praying, praying and sharing. Now, I have some questions I'd like to ask you. If you are on the street or you are with a relative and talking to them about your faith and they said some of these questions, would you have answers? They say, when you talk about your faith, they say to you, "I think you are making too big a deal about this." How would you answer? You see, when you have the Word of God, you're able to have an answer. If you have God's Word, you have something to say. "You're making too big a deal about it." Really? Do you think so? About death and what happens after you die? Is that a big deal? We can't talk about it? Is that a big deal? Is that, what, you think I'm living on the edge of death every day? Every day? Don't you think that people are very concerned about COVID because they're afraid of dying? Are they afraid of dying? And you say, "I'm making a big deal about this discussion regarding the faith?" No, Jesus said, the value of a soul is worth more than the whole world. In Mark chapter 8, your soul is valuable. Seek him, you will find him. Somebody else said, "I don't believe I'll take my chances." What kind of chances do you have? "I'll take my chances." Remember Why did Jesus come here into this world if it wasn't important? I think if I was God, and you can take your chances and whatever roles, and you don't have anything to say about it, or you don't want to make any decision about it, I think God would say to you, friend, how could you come into my marriage feast? You have no garment on. Cast him into outer darkness. You're taking your chances on being cast into outer darkness? You see, what's the point? The question is reasonable and natural, but the answer, look at that verse 3, they ate spiritual food. When they came out of Egypt, there was something spiritual happening. They could feel it. They realized it. And it said, the rock that followed them, they drank from it, verse 4. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Rocks don't really follow you, usually. Cars follow you, buses follow you, the dog follows you. A rock follows you? Yes, a rock followed them. What kind of rock? Spiritual rock. Is that spiritual rock following you? Yes. And we even drink of that spiritual rock. Remember how Moses hit the rock and water came out? And you know that there is something about your life that is rock solid, and it follows you, and that is God, and that God is speaking to you from the Bible so that you can speak to other people with spiritual words, spiritual food. Somebody else on one of our soul-winning trips, they said, I'm going to have a good time in this world and let the next world take care of itself. Okay, let's think about it. I'm going to have a good time in this life and let the next world take care of itself. Okay. Are you okay with that? Not really. Really? I missed a train one time because I didn't take it seriously. I got sick one time because I ate some poisonous food and I didn't take it seriously. I lost a job because I didn't take it. I almost drowned because I didn't take the ocean seriously. What, you think you can just live this life and then let the next life take care of itself? What do you think is going to happen? You're more responsible than that in this life. And if God is saying to you, I sent my son, and I gave my son so that you could have eternal life, and you don't do anything about it, you don't care about it, it's the life of a fool. Fools live like that. Is that what you want? No. You plan to eat lunch, and I don't think you ever miss, because you plan. Just let lunch take care of itself. Really? You're just going to let it all take care of itself? No. Prepare to meet thy God, in the book of Amos, chapter 4. What am I trying to say? This world is in some kind of trouble. Every person you meet on the service, they can be very nice and polite, and I appreciate that. But I also believe there's something deep that's like moving and working in the hearts of people. And I believe that needs to be addressed. And I believe that the answer for our country is evangelism. And I believe it is Christians that are waking up and realizing that I can on purpose make my life count by being baptized under the cloud. What is a cloud anyway? It's like we call it, when a cloud is close to the earth, we call it a fog. I'm in a fog. I can't see very far. I'm in a cloud. That cloud led them. It kind of takes faith to live in a cloud. And for the cloud to be over us and to lead us, and he's going to take us out of Egypt, and Moses is our leader, and I'm going to understand things about God that are not from this world. They are not taught at the university or at the public school. They are often not taught at the church. They are often not taught in life. You can't find them, but they teach about this, but not the person that made it. But if you find the Bible, look up here. This is going to change you. The Bible is going to change you. I once was smoking marijuana. I don't do it anymore. God changed my heart. That was scary. Christ, maybe I was going to believe both in Jesus and smoke marijuana too at the same time. That was scary. I probably could have reasoned my way, but I wouldn't have gotten very far with God in a personal way. Because God loves righteousness, and he called us to live by faith. So I did something crazy. I said to God, if you're real, make me happier than a man that's stoned. Make me happier than a man high. Make me give me what you came to give me. I'm ready for it. I'll go by. And God is saying, walk by faith. And I did. And I never smoked again. By God's grace, and I mean it, the grace of God. The grace of God changed my heart. He put like an intelligent cap on my head. He gave me a smile, big eyes like this, and this is how I am, how you and I. Not always. Not always. There are times when, not always. I don't mean it that way. I mean it this way. When you find gold, you don't forget it. When you taste honey, you don't forget it. Maybe I haven't had it for a while, but I'm hungry for it. I know where I can go. I can go to the local church where the pastor's preaching the Bible and teaching me the Bible. I can be with the body of Christ where I can be in fellowship in the sweetness of God. I can go to a place where I can be told what is right and what is wrong. And I can be told what the world is and what Egypt is, because they will lie to you day and night, but not the cloud and the rock that's following us. We'll go and find him. I need a pastor teacher, a man of God in my life. I found one I'm from New York, but I found one in Maine. I lived in Maine for 3 or 4 years. Guys, I loved what I was hearing. Then I went to Finland, and we became those ministers, and the Finns responded, and they found Jesus. And this happened with us, and this is more than 40 years ago. And on it goes. The story goes on. Do you know what the United States of America needs? Anybody going to get the idea? What do we need? A lot of money? No. We have needed a good economy? No. That may come and go. What do we need? Like COVID-free? No, we don't need that. We need to find God and be baptized under the cloud with Moses and to follow him and eat spiritual food and find a rock that will follow us and we'll build our house on him, whatever comes. Whatever goes on in our future. Wow, that's an amazing way of thinking. And we're not backing off with it. We believe it and embrace it, because when you get it, nope, team of horses can't keep me back from going to California. I'm going to California. I heard there's gold in California. Well, in a similar way, you get the idea. No, I'm here. I'm here for 40 years, 50, I'm here. I'm eating, I'm feeding, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm making decisions. I am not like the world. We are different. Get it straight. We are different. You are different. You have changed. You are different. The grace of God is what you're growing in. And the Spirit of God is anointing you with the freshness of it and the reality of it. And it's precious to us. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? I'll just ask the pastors to come down front and just make a line down. This is so that if you have a question after the service, or you'd like prayer, or you a word of counsel, there's an available pastor standing down front, and you can come down and ask him to pray for you or answer your question or be encouraged. And then the prayer for the unbeliever coming to Jesus by faith. You may be one of these with these excuses. You may be skeptical. You may have questions. It's only normal. But we want to reassure you, Jesus loves you, and that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That's about all you need to know, that he loves you and he died for you and he rose from the dead. Believe in him. He will answer questions. He will sort it out. He will show you. He will help you. He will build you up in the faith, and he will bless you. And say to Jesus, I believe. For the Bible says in John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. Just raise your hand if you're accepting Jesus today. Just put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? You're accepting Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. There's three. Beautiful. Anybody? And four. There's four. Another lady over there. Oh, good decision. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Another one. Five. That's beautiful. Wow. Awesome. 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 It's real. It's real. 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 Walk by faith in Jesus, honestly. He's going to show you. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He's good to you. He loves you. You're in the family of God. You're in the family of God. Just be simple like a child and trust him. When you walk out of here today, start to pray to him and just say, thank you, Jesus. And talk to him like a friend, that he loves you. And he will fill you with the Spirit as you trust him and walk by faith in him. Yes. Thank you, Lord.